Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the free food and medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast. This is our prequel for our freefoodandmedicine.org podcast. So after we're done with this 30-minute recording, if you want to hear the rest of the story, go to freefoodandmedicine.org and click on podcast, and you'll be able to listen to the full version of this recording. Thank you very much, and here we go.
If you walk outside your door right now and look at the plants around your house, do you have any clue which plants are edible? After a lifetime of research and over 3 years of putting this together, I have created what I believe to be one of the most foundational books for living on planet Earth. Most human beings have lost touch with nature so much they have no clue anymore how to survive on their own. Did you know wild plants are some of the most powerful food and medicine you could ever have? Every living thing on Earth has a purpose, even the toxic plants. You just need to know which purpose they serve. In an emergency, you need to know this. If you want to seriously improve your health, you need to know this. If you have no more money for food or medicine, you need to know this. This is a book no household should be without. This isn't just about plants you might see in a forest somewhere. I'm talking about the begonias in your window, the grass in your yard, the tree on the corner, and the weeds coming through the cracks. Let's take common grass. Did you know you can make tea out of it? That's right. Grass tea is used as a diuretic for kidney stone prevention, urinary inflammation, incontinence, expelling worms, hemorrhoids, skin conditions like rash. It's also used for lung conditions like bronchitis, colds, fever, infections. The roots can be chewed as a licorice-tasting food or made into a flour and are used for digestive and stomach issues. That's right. Yeah, grass. It's insane what people don't know. This weed is one of the most nutritious, delicious greens there is, even better than spinach. It was used a long time ago by farmers to fatten up their livestock. You probably have 10 different things growing within walking distance of your house right now that are great, healthy, non-caffeine coffee substitutes. Plants that help you quit smoking. Plants that help you lose your desire for alcohol and detox your body while they're at it. What plants are a good substitute for milk or beer or even root beer? What plants make a good perfume? Which ones are good repellents for ants, moths, and mosquitoes? What common weed makes an awesome shampoo and soap? Which plant makes a soap for delicate fabrics that normally can't be washed with harsh chemicals? What's a good plan for bed bugs? This is not just a book for recognizing wild and unknown plants. It's also a dictionary and a health reference guide to all those revolutionary healing herbs you've been hearing so much about and what they're used for. This plant, for example, boosts your sex life so much it's been outlawed in several states. You might not be able to buy it, but it might be growing right there in your neighborhood. Every drug that medicine uses out there was originally made from a plant. Plants can feed you, help heal your health conditions. You can make clothing with them, and you can build your home with them. They can power your electricity and fuel your car. Plants can even protect your home from break-ins. Find out which ones are good for that. It's all in this book. Which plant is good for arguing couples? This plant has wax to make candles with. Which plant has a bubblegum flavor? What plants are good thickeners for soups and food? What common household flowers are edible? It's time we put everything in one book. All the plants. Garden plants, wild plants, potted plants, trees, landscaping, everything. What nuts taste like cheddar cheese when steamed? What common worldwide plant is eaten in India where people have the lowest cancer rates? Sure, wheatgrass is great, but what about crabgrass? What about those amazing and powerful herbs you've heard so much about from South America? Did you know people are growing them in their homes all over the world? When I say edible plants, I mean all plants, because you now have access to all of them everywhere. Geographic region doesn't matter anymore either, because the world is becoming one. People are growing pineapples and goji berries in their own homes, even up north where it's cold. Did you know you can grow kiwis that can handle 30 below zero? I'm about to open up a whole new world for you of unlimited possibilities and put you in charge of having access to any free food and medicine you could ever want, including the most famous healing herbs in the world. I am empowering you here. You're not just at the mercy of what's randomly growing near you. You now have the power to grow almost anything you want, any plant from anywhere in the world on your property, no matter where you live. It's your life. Start grabbing it by the reins and start doing what you want. That's what I'm here for, is to show you how. Why did I include normal grocery store fruits and vegetables in this book? Because there's lots of wild carrots and grapes and asparagus and stuff growing out there, and most people have no clue what a wild carrot even looks like if they saw one, or mustard. If you saw this growing, would you eat it? You know what this is? It's celery. This, on the other hand, is poison hemlock. You gotta know the difference. Most people have no clue. We need to start from scratch. When I say edible plants, I mean all edible plants. What are peely nuts and jackfruit good for? Which super powerful plants are good for fighting sexual diseases? What plant will not burn and makes a great fire barrier around your home? I didn't just create this for you. I created it for me, too. Why buy it when you can grow it for free and have an endless supply of free food and medicine for the rest of your life? This amazing Power Pack book covers over 1,000 plants found all over the world. It shows you which ones are edible, which ones are poisonous, what they're used for. Over 2,500 full-color images. This is the ultimate plant and health reference guide. Just as important is the second part of the book, a complete in-depth cross-reference of every health condition you can imagine and what plants have been historically used for those conditions. What plant do you take for nervousness? What plant repairs DNA? What plants are good for anxiety, insomnia? Which ones are good probiotic food? What plants can you make your own soap and toothpaste and shampoo with? What are the best healthy low glycemic sugar substitutes other than stevia? Which ones increase nutrient absorption and athletic performance? How about the performance in the bedroom? Even if you don't want to pick your own plants, at least know what to look for when you go to the health store. This section alone is worth the whole book. Once you start looking at this thing, you're not going to be able to put it down. You'll be amazed at what's out there, growing right outside your door. There's nothing else like this out there. This is a book every person, every household should have. The Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. Get it at freefoodandmedicine.com.
Amazing.
Yeah. And here we go.
And here we go. Update. That book used to be $40. I guess now it's $30. So get out there and get it before the price goes up. Freefoodandmedicine.com to get the Free Food and Medicine book. Or if you want to give me a commission, it's freefoodandmedicine.net. So, real quick.
What about the video?
What about the video?
What about the video? How much is it?
That's a good question. Go to freefoodandmedicine.net and find out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a little more.
Yeah, and I need it.
So, last two or three episodes, we kind of sort of talking about this plant.
Bubblegum.
And bubblegum. Yeah, a couple weeks ago, I gave you a teaser. We actually talked about it on the full version of the podcast, but not the short version of the podcast. And we got a little bit more details now, so we're going to talk about that today as our topic. Which plant tastes like bubblegum? You want to do the honors?
Well, let's see. You sent me the scientific name, Maclura tricuspidata. Man, I murdered that one. Anyway, it's a tree native to East Asia, occasionally grown for its fruit. Somewhat similar to that of the related mulberry. It is also known by common names, including Kudrong, Mandarin Melonberry, Silkworm Thorn, G, or Chi.
It also has two other names. Yeah, Chinese Mulberry is another one. Norris
is also another one. N-O-R-R-I-S.
Right.
Yeah, basically, it's commonly known as the Chinese mulberry. Now, Marcus Rothgren says it has a slight hint of bubblegum flavor in his book. I've only heard of one other person in saying that it tastes like bubblegum. It seems like they really don't have a pinpoint reference as to how it tastes. Some people say it tastes like watermelon. Some people, I forgot what else they say it tastes like, but they, you know, melon, it tastes like melon, you know. There's different, everybody has like a different point of reference of what they say it tastes like. But most everybody says it tastes good. It is related to the mulberry. It's in, I guess, the mulberry family. And it's also related to the fig, or closely related to the fig. Now, that being said, some people say you have to have both male and female in order for it to produce fruit. But there has been known to be trees that were self-pollinating. So from what I understand, the self-pollinating fruit is seedless, and the fruit that is pollinated by a male tree, male and female, produces seed. And from what I heard, the seedless ones do not taste as good as the ones with seeds.
I don't trust things without seeds anyway.
Well, it's not a hybrid. It's a defect. Or not really a defect. It's a freak of nature, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, so they clone it in order to get it. But
yeah.
It's not that I think that they're poisonous if they don't have seeds. It's just, I just have a feeling you don't get your full nutritional value.
Well, this tree also reproduces by tubers.
Well, okay.
So it's a seed and tuber tree. But yeah, most people say it tastes really, really good. It grows in all kinds of temperatures. It will grow anywhere from tropical to Canadian type temperatures. We should have them growing everywhere. It looks
right,
like a miniature Osage orange, except it's red or pinkish. So it looks like a hedge apple, but it's
it also looks like an oversized
brain.
No,
it kind of looks like a brain.
It looks like an oversized mulberry.
I suppose it kind of, sort of, maybe looks like a mulberry, maybe a cross between a mulberry and a hedge apple.
Well, I found a place where you can get it for 35 euros.
Cool. Yeah, different tree places actually sell them. You can buy them. They say it's best to buy them grafted onto an Osage orange, I guess, trunk. Whatever. So anyways, I don't know which one's the best way to graft it or grow it or whatever. I haven't done a whole lot of extensive research on it, but I've been looking at it for a couple weeks now, off and on, and I haven't really found a lot of information on nutritional value. except that it's high in vitamins. It also says that not a lot of bugs will attack this fruit, although it is the secondary source of food for silkworms. I guess the primary source of food is the mulberry. But if
the
there's no
mulberry in particular.
Yeah. But if there are no mulberries, then they'll go for these. Why that is?
It's orange, the tetrary.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But apparently it does have thorns. So that may or may not be an issue. And
well, mulberries have thorns. Not mulberries.
Heads.
Osage orange have thorns.
Right. So that would be possibly one thorn tree that I would make an exception of having on the land. But one of the few. But anyways. Provided it tastes as good as they say it does. What?
This nursery says it's related to figs and jackfruit as well.
Yeah, a lot of people have said fig. I've not heard jackfruit, but okay.
I don't see it, but okay.
Now, I don't know what medicinal value it has, besides maybe potentially being high in vitamins. Let me see if I can find nutritional facts. Doesn't seem to be a whole lot of information on it anyways. Nutritional facts for chi.
Grows zone 5 to 9, so we're well within a zone that it would grow.
Right.
That could grow up in Iowa.
All right, here we go. Chi fruit nutritional value. The chi tree is a broad spreading bush or small tree. Yeah, it only gets like 6 foot tall, I think they said.
Oh, that's cool.
Nutritional value. Chi fruit is loaded with vitamins like riboflavins, thymine, carotene, and have very high levels of vitamin C. That's good. They have high levels of a powerful group of antioxidants called, the abbreviation is OPC, oligomeric OPCs. Google that. and a distinct relative of breadfruit, jackfruit, fig, and of course mulberries. Now I was listening to YouTubes today about breadfruit and other things. I was basically doing YouTube research while I was trimming trees today, trying to find more information on this chi fruit. Didn't find a whole lot, but there we go. It's high in vitamins. Now, it is said that hedge is good for fighting other diseases. And mulberry is in the hedge, you know, mulberry is related to hedge. And if this is in that family as well, it could potentially fight similar diseases.
Well, mulberry is a superfood, but it tastes horrible.
Mulberry?
Not mulberry. Hedge.
Right.
Hedge apples. They're a superfood, but it tastes horrible. If you're sick, really sick, mulberries are, hedge apples are kind of the thing to eat.
Right.
You know, cancer type sick. Just saying. So.
Oh, yeah. Very high in antioxidants. Oh, not mold, not hedge, but it might be high in antioxidants. I don't know. I'll have to check out. Let's see here. Hedge.
Yeah, nobody likes to eat it, except maybe the Amish.
Right. Nutritional information for hedge apples. Oh, this is a Reddit. So this isn't really quote unquote reliable source of information, but see what they have to say. Nothing solid. Never mind. Anyways, what else did I learn about the chi fruit this week or so? What have you learned about it?
Next to nothing.
Yeah,
only
there's not a whole lot.
$30 a tree.
Right. Yeah, there's not a whole lot out there on it that I've found, and but I haven't been doing a whole lot of extensive research either, just hit and miss research here and there. It is an interest of mine. It is a tree that I want to get. Well, I don't know. This website says
doing
that they...
Doing a search for that, the scientific name and nutrition, I don't know if it's related or not, but it pulls up a PDF on anti-obesity effects of dipyrnylgenistein, whatever that is.
That might be... That might be the breadfruit, because I remember them saying one of those fruits that I was listening to on the YouTube, that it was a weight loss, had weight loss capabilities or whatever, but it was not the chi, it was another one. It might have been the breadfruit.
Right. Well, I'm guessing it wouldn't have come up unless, anyway, they collected some plants that contained that chemical and fed it to obese mice and watched them get skinny.
Well, like, what's his name? Brian Tracy? Yeah, Brian Tracy says, fruits and berries are nature's roto-rooter.
Right.
So, just eating lots of fruits and berries will clean you out and help you lose weight.
Huh.
Yeah, this one sells their trees for $40 US.
Here's a company Cricket. That distinguishes between mandarin melon berries and chi and what's I can't even pronounce it. The other M one.
The other M one.
Or is it an ant?
Norris.
Norris. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's an N. Yeah, they've got three different trees that look alike, and they're selling them as if they're different things.
Maybe. Well, technically there are three trees. There's a male, there's a female, and then there's the one that self-pollinates, supposedly.
Right.
So it might be a hermaphrodite tree. I don't know.
First year care, deep water twice a week. Prune only in winter when the plant is dormant.
Yeah.
Milky sap is a skin irritant. They say that about Osage orange, but if you got skin cancer, you take that latex sap that comes out of an Osage orange and you apply it to the open weeping wounds that you often have with the skin cancer, and it forms a Band-Aid as well as providing nutrients. And my friend who was doing that, he never complained about it irritating his skin. So I don't know what to say.
Yeah, in fact, his skin cancer didn't completely go away, but it reduced dramatically.
Yeah, unfortunately, he didn't stay with it. He only, you know, he did it when he remembered. And he wasn't always remembering things, so.
Right. If he would have used it more often, it would have been more successful.
Right. Propagation, seeds and cuttings, grafting onto Osage orange rootstock is recommended.
Right.
It's primarily grown for its highly attractive ornamental. The fruit is edible, but bland, possibly due to a lack of nutritional value. Oh, my.
That might be the self-pollinating one.
Right. It is usually not harvested as a crop food. However, sliced berries might be served with lemon juice and sugar to improve the flavor.
Well, it may be that they're missing its, you know, nutritional value. I'm sure God would not create a food that doesn't have any
a value. Question. Have you looked in Rothkrantz's book to see what he says its nutritional value is?
He doesn't say it has a nutritional value.
He just says it tastes like bubblegum.
He says, an interesting plant with a seedless fruit whose flavor has a hint of bubblegum. When ripe, they are red and the size of golf balls in the mulberry family. A very prolific plant, grows to about 25 feet tall, which I stand corrected. They don't get only 6 feet tall. Anyways, we're about out of time. In the future, and hopefully near future, you can hear the rest of the story at freefoodandmedicine.org. Once I get this uploaded, you'll be able to listen to the full version. So, I guess we'll see you on the other side.
On the other side. Are we there yet?
Come with me to the dark side.